Hello and welcome to the Ordinary People's Theatre. I'm your host, Emma Sheehan. Sit back and relax with my short stories, mini soaps and the odd classic tale and something mysterious thrown in for good measure, all with a dark comic twist. I upload here on the first Monday of the month. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to my website, emmasheehan.co.uk, or find me on Instagram at emmasheehanlondon or Twitter at TheRealEmSheehan. And if you want to hear more episodes or find out more about the show, I'm on ordinarypeoplestheatre.buzzsprout.com. Enjoy the show. Gorgeous George by Emma Sheehan. Class of 2009, we need you. We want to see you on the dance floor at the Willow Manor School Reunion, June the 12th, in the school gym. We'll be playing a bit of Bieber, a bit of Flo Rida, and defo a little bit of Jay-Z. Don't be late, you might get detention. The post had been made at 9 a.m. that morning. The man seated at the dining table of 27 Clematis Way smiled and clicked the going button on the invite as he finished his bacon sandwich and swigged down the remains of his coffee. Moving from the invite post, he clicked onto the Leavers School photos on the old Willow Manor school reunion site. Mostly average, spotty teenagers, nothing to write home about. He then switched over to Messenger to refresh himself on the messages he'd received from the girls of Class H5. He quickly scanned their profiles. Brittany, Ashley and Lauren were his current favourites. But he knew what people were like online. They probably posted pictures that didn't show their crow's feet and pot bellies like most of these girls do. There was also from a couple of the football team lads who probably had beard bellies and shaved heads to hide their bald spots, to be fair, he smiled to himself. He couldn't fail. Could he? On the evening of June the 12th at around 7:30, he pulled into what was the head teacher's parking space. Where else? In his throaty MG. He glimpsed in the rearview mirror and gave himself a little ironic smile. Spotting two tubby brunettes on their way to the assembly hall, he slowly exited the car. Hello, ladies. I thought it was the school reunion tonight. I didn't realise it was auditions for Britain's Next Top Model. The girls stopped, looked at each other and fell into fits of laughter. If I'm not mistaken, Sam Garner and Holly Wright. Are you going to be my escort tonight then, girls? I only had one mate, Matthew Hollis, and I don't reckon he's going to show up from New Zealand somehow, do you? Sam and Holly looked at each other once more, and Holly raised her eyebrows. I need you two to back me up. No one probably remembers who the hell George Meadows is anyway. I don't want tonight to be a total failure.
George, you bloody idiot. I don't think anyone's going to have any trouble remembering you. To you, babe, said Holly.
George and the girls ran the rest of the way as the rain began to spit and a distant roll of thunder could be heard. Upon arrival in the hall, Cheryl Cole invited them to fight for this love. Sam and Holly squealed and ran towards a bunch of nondescript 30-something females hovering by the buffet table, leaving George Meadows momentarily alone.
Sorry, I can't place you. It's a bit dark in here. I must be getting middle-aged and forgetful.
A small, mousy-haired woman spoke at his elbow as Cheryl reached her crescendo.
Marnie! How's it going, babe? You look amazing. Are you joking me? Middle-aged, you nutter. You're a proper little stunner, Marnie. I'd recognise you anywhere.
He glanced down and saw that she was holding a clipboard with some sticky labels and a Sharpie pen.
Don't blame me, babe, for not recognising me. I was pretty run-of-the-mill in the 90s. It's George. George Meadows.
Oh! Yes, sorry, George. I need to get some new glasses, I think. How are you? You're looking very well, Marnie said, suddenly animated.
George made some mindless talk as Marnie wrote his name in annoyingly slanted writing and placed the sticker on his shirt, rubbing it over a few times to make it stick. That annoyed him. Can you imagine if he rubbed sticky labels on girls' tops without asking, he thought. The bloody sticky you'd get. Sexist cow. Although it was probably the most amount of male contact she'd actually had since 2009, judging by the look of her, he thought. She gave a silly wave as George watched her walk off in her flat, bulky shoes to her next victim. Anyway, at least everyone knew who he was now.
Marnie approached the buffet table as Holly and Sam turned around.
Oh, hello, Marnie. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Nice to see you. Can I put a name tag on you? Marnie said.
Really? Weren't that long ago, was it? I don't think we're getting forgetful yet. Although, hang on, Sam. I never even recognised gorgeous George Meadows, did you?
Holly said.
No, you're right. I mean, he's still gorgeous.
He's bloody gorgeous, Holly, said Sam.
Yeah, what I was going to say was, he's well gorgeous, and he was gorgeous back then, but weirdly, I didn't recognise him.
There must be different states of gorgeousness then, wasn't there? Is that a word? I don't know, but I didn't recognise him either. Holly and Sam turned as Marnie spoke.
Yeah, go on then, give us a silly label, Marnie. Sadly, I'd recognise that creep Marnie Bucks anywhere, laughed Holly.
Well, no, for frump's sake, woman. She was a specky, frumpy kid, and she's a specky, frumpy woman. She looks like she's still got her school uniform on with that pleated skirt and those flat shoes. I'm surprised she didn't turn up in her frumpy leotard and jump over a box.
Bloody nosy Parker, said Sam.
Talking of it, I know it sounds mad, but I thought Gorgeous George had a look at Mark Tanner. Remember him?
Holly said.
Mark Tanner? No. What are you on about Mark Tanner? What, skinny Mark Tanner? He was in the year below us, wasn't he? Sam said. That weasel-like snotty kid?
Yeah, I think so. But obviously now a mega-buff Gorgeous Georgia-like, though.
Now where did he get off to? Let's get on the dance floor.
George was in the toilet. The door was locked, but he was sitting with the loo seat closed, enlarging the school photo on his phone. He pulled the chain as he heard the outer door creak open. Opening the cubicle door, he saw the back of a large blonde man at the urinal.
All right, Tobe!
George shouted, clapping the other man on his shoulder. The man finished what he was doing and pulled up his zip before turning to face George and made a great show of leaning in and reading his name badge.
George?
Well, George Meadows. Bloody hell, mate. I wouldn't have recognised you. Although you always were a bloody handsome devil, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous George. Toby laughed loudly, and the pair left the loos and hit the dance floor with Sam, Holly, and a startlingly pretty girl who looked like a film star, but turned out to be Billie Jean Barnes, which came as a shock to everyone who remembered her as a short girl with a briefcase who never spoke.
Marnie entered the dancing circle, doing an out-of-sync strange jig. The circle enlarged as everyone attempted to move away from her. Sam and Holly left and went to the bar as Toby grabbed Stella Norton and tried to start a conga with her. George gave Marnie a little wink and made as if he was off to the bar too. Picking up the pace, he made his way to the twins, Anthony and Aaron Walsh, who looked identical to 2009 except for their height, and they were sporting more modern haircuts, having left their greasy curtain style behind in 2009.
All right, lads?
George bobbed his head. The twins bobbed their heads back.
Who's that prat? Said Aaron as George turned to get the barman's attention.
Dunno,
replied Anthony. Right, we're showing our faces. Let's get out of here.
Hang on, his name tag says George.
Was it that gorgeous George idiot?
Aaron squinted as George walked back into the crowd.
Oh yeah, probably. That's the sort of look that passes for gorgeous, isn't it?
Anthony said, swigging back the dregs of his pint and putting on his jacket.
Whoever he is, he looks a total prat.
Yeah,
total fanny. Total failure. Let's go.
The twins made their way quickly to the exit and left bemoaning the state of the girls and lamenting the fact that Brittany and Ashley were no shows, so they might as well hit the pub and get a break from all the sad music.
George sat down and was joined a few moments later by Toby and Stella.
Stella slammed a drink down as she sat, spilling a bit, and then did an exaggerated frown as she leaned in, swaying a bit on her chair.
George?
Well, George Meadows. Well, that's weird, isn't it?
She slurred.
What's that, Stella?
What's weird then? George frowned back.
I just remember you as having a different head. That's all,
Stella replied.
What?
Replied George, the baffled look remaining.
You. You've got a different head to the George Meadows I remember. The George Meadows I knew,
Stella said, louder this time.
A different head.
Yeah, this is the head of a man, not a boy from 2009, Stella,
George snorted.
You're not exactly the same yourself, are you, Stella? Where's your glasses? Where's your braces? Where's your flicky hair under a headband?
Oh, go on.
Yeah, true.
but my actual head is the same head. Toby, can you get the class photo that's on the easel at the door? Can you go get it for me, please?
She slurred again, reaching for the drink.
Yeah, let's get it over, Tobe. Let's have a little laugh, sneered George.
Toby rose, swaying a bit himself now, and staggered off.
What's up with you, Stella?
George moved in a little closer as Toby left, a worried frown this time.
Why are you saying that my head is different? Are you trying to make me upset for some reason?
Upset? No, why was I upset you? I'm just saying you look mega different.
Stella went on, as Marnie sidled into the seat that Toby had just vacated.
No reason. I just wondered if you found out what had happened to me and you were mocking me,
George said, his bottom lip quivering a tiny bit. Marnie pulled her chair closer towards the table.
What are you talking about? Why is Stella upsetting you, George? What's happening?
Marnie asked, pushing her glasses up her nose.
Nothing's happening, Marnie.
George faked a smile.
I'm just having a chat with Stella. I'm sure she's not meaning to, but she's upsetting me.
I am not upset with you, George. Don't be ridiculous. It's nothing to do with you, Marnie. It's not 2009. You don't need to clamp over in your prefect's shoes and stick your bulbous nose in, thanks. Why don't you go and do a running jump over the vaulting horse or whatever it is, the gym? The gym is down a corridor.
Stella turned with a nasty look and spat the words at Marnie.
You are one nasty piece of work, aren't you, Stella? You always were a mean girl, weren't you?
Don't worry about her, Marnie. Your nose is absolutely gorgeous. To Marnie's complete shock, George reached over and kissed her nose softly as her glasses slid down her face.
Nasty? What? How dare you, George? You must be thinking of someone else. Although, maybe there's something wrong with your memory. What with you having a completely different mush?
Sorry about that, Stella. I'm really sorry my face doesn't fit. George made a little shake with his fingers.
It could well be something to do with the fact that I came off the back of a motorbike and was in hospital for 10 weeks having major surgery. I only came out in time for my cousin Greg's funeral. So, thanks for the mocking and the meanness. I was hoping to have such a laugh and catch up with old mates, but no such luck. It's just been a total failure. See you later.
George abruptly got up, took his jacket from the back of the chair and walked through the dancing crowd into the corridor.
George, George, wait a minute, hang on, will you?
He turned. It was Marnie, of course.
No, it's all right, Marnes, I'll shoot off. Thanks for giving me such a great welcome and for arranging all this. Oh, it's been good to see you and a few of the old faces.
But there's always one, isn't there? Spoiling it somehow. We're a long way from 2009, but weird how some things never change.
He gave her a weak smile. Some things change, though, George,
Marnie replied.
What's that then?
George said.
Your face, for one.
She smiled broadly, and George threw back his head and laughed.
Yeah, very funny. Good one, mate.
George walked to her, playfully punching her lightly on the arm and putting his head on one side, a pose which he knew made him look devastatingly attractive. He blinked his long lashes over his brown eyes, looking straight into her face. He saw her blush, and he knew he'd hit the spot and leaned back a little.
Still wouldn't hit the road, though, mate.
He smiled a sad smile.
Let me come with you.
I'm still Little Miss Unpopular. I've done my duty with the name badges. So I'll walk to the bus stop with you, Marnie said.
There's no need for you to leave, Marn. Stay and have a drink, have a dance with Sam and Holly,
George said. No. No, I don't think they want me hanging around, she replied.
Tell you what, then. Let's hit the chippy on the way home. I'm in the car. So we get a couple of Savoys, we go back to mine for a swift one, and I'll drop you back home after, just to stop tonight being a total failure.
George was beaming now, knowing his offer was irresistible.
Savoys?
What?
Oh, well, now that does take me back to 2009. I don't think I've had one since then, George.
She smiled a wonky smile.
I didn't eat too many back then, you know. I was into my gymnastics, remember? The vault, do you remember? The horse?
Well, let's do some catching up, Marnes. It is really good to see you, you know.
His look turned to a frown as he began patting his back pocket and squeezing his jacket.
Hold on a minute. I must have left my phone in there somewhere. Give us a sec.
He turned and walked quickly back into the hall. Spotting the abandoned clipboard of stickers and a pen Marnie had dropped onto a table as she'd followed him outside, George scooped up the pen and wrote his phone number on a sticker, peeled it off and scanned the hall for his quarry. Spotting her, he strode to Billie Jean Barnes and stuck the label onto her shoulder.
Nice to see you again, Billie Jean.
Billy Jean's not my lover, but I think we can do something about that, don't you?
He turned and walked to the door without waiting for an answer, and meeting Marnie in the corridor, he took her hand and led her to the car.
The pair arrived back at 27 Clematis Way as the rain began to pour. The still steaming Savalon chips were plonked on plates and George cracked open a couple of cans of cider.
Here's two reunions, old mates, and cider with Marnie.
George clinked cans as Marnie splashed on the vinegar.
Marnie lifted her can and blinked, her eyes enlarged through her thick glasses.
Old mates, yeah, lovely.
Although...
She stopped and bit the end off a Savloy. George said nothing as he speared chips, a small smile on his lips.
Realising I wasn't taking the bait, Marnie continued.
Although, would you call us mates, George? Really? Back then?
Of course I would, mate. What are you on about?
I've got to admit, since my motorbike crash, some things have been a little fuzzy. And 2009 was a long time ago, but we got on all right, didn't we?
George said.
Oh, yes. Your motorbike crash.
What exactly were your injuries?
Marnie asked, a look of concern on her face.
You broke both legs and one of your arms, didn't you?
Yep, and a bloody rest,
George replied as he got up and grabbed another can of cider from the fridge, as Marnie wondered if he'd forgotten the promise of lift home he'd made her.
Did you say something about your face too?
The look of concern was still plastered on.
Yeah, burns all over from the petrol as the fuel tank exploded. My face was dragged along the tarmac road, George said.
Really? Your face was so badly injured?
Well, very badly, Marnie. That's why you can see it is a bit different. I did have a bit of reconstruction.
George half closed his liquid brown eyes, a look he knew made women come over all motherly.
Oh, I see. So that's the explanation then.
She polished off the rest of the Savloy and waited. A slight frown momentarily clouded George's face.
Yeah, that's the explanation of why I look a little bit different.
No expression now crossed his face.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be because you're Mark Tanner, the skinny kid from a year below us, who's bizarrely calling himself George Meadows and appears to be living in George Meadows' house.
It was Marnie's turn to have no expression this time, and she looked at George without blinking. George placed the can of cider on the table between them.
Oh, no. Now, that's really annoyed me, Marnie, although I suppose I've only got myself to blame. I didn't have to come to the reunion, but no, typical me. I pushed it too far as usual.
Pushed what too far, Mark?
Marnie said.
It's George now, Marnie. Don't get me all annoyed. Okay, the bit about the motorbike crash was all true. And then strangely, when the bandages came off, I had to laugh because I realised I weirdly resembled gorgeous George Meadows from school. So I admit, I did try to fool everyone for a laugh.
That bunch of dunces all thought I was George.
But of course you didn't.
You always were pretty bright, weren't you, Marnes?
That was only a laugh. I hope I haven't freaked you out.
George was grinning now, his chocolate eyes glinting in the light of the standard lamp. Marnie pushed a mouthful of cooling chips in and chewed slowly before replying.
And you're now in his house because...
She let the question hang in the air.
Oh, wow. Well, okay, Marnie. I feel like you're actually pressurising me now.
Okay.
I'm actually house-sitting for the Meadows. Ros and Steve, George's parents. They're out in New Zealand for a couple of months. I'm a friend of the family. I just thought it'd be a massive laugh to pose as George, then bring a mate round for a giggle, just to see how long it took for someone to twig. So well done, you. But exams was a long time ago, so enough of all the quizzing, eh?
George began to laugh.
Well, you never were one for doing your homework, were you, Mark? It's Matthew Hollis, George's best friend who went to New Zealand. Mr. and Mrs. Meadows moved to Portugal about 10 years ago. And they're Rose and Stefan, not Ros and Steve. This house is just George's.
She paused.
Yeah, I do know all that. It's only a little pedantic. It's George who's out in New Zealand. He's down with Matthew Hollis.
George snarled, showing his irritation.
Are there two Matthew Hollises then? Because Matthew Hollis from school moved back from down under and married my cousin, Beth Bucks. They live in Oxford.
Marnie pushed in the last chip and placed her fork down on the empty plate. She turned and looked through the patio doors as the rain streaked the glass.
"You are getting on my nerves now, Marnie Bucks. You always were a stupid lump and cow bossing everyone about. It's time for you to go, little Miss Unpopular. I got mixed up about George's parents, and maybe he's telling me polkies about where he's on holiday. But I'm just doing a favour for an old mate. And I've had a couple of drinks, and as I said, I can get fuzzy since the bike crash. So now you've stuck your savoy down, just do one and get out, and let me have another can in peace."
He swept the chair back and walked into the kitchen.
"Mark, I think you're forgetting it was George who had a bike crash. He came off the back of his cousin Greg's bike. Greg didn't make it." "You don't get all fuzzy because you didn't crash a motorbike. You're Mark, not George."
She paused again and waited for him to come back from the kitchen.
"But I'm guessing you know all that, as I remember seeing you working as a porter in the hospital where George was treated after his accident. I went to visit him, because we are quite close friends. And you seem to have picked up the basics, but apart from the broken limbs, George, the real George, that is, had damage to his ears and the back of his head. He's got the same face. Stella Norton would recognise him anywhere."
Again, she received no reply from the kitchen.
"Where's George, Mark?"
"I'm assuming you didn't realise he is in fact gorgeous in more ways than one, and as I say, we're quite close friends, and he's the only person from school who ever gave me the time of day, especially since he came out of hospital."
She rose from the table and went and stood by the patio doors, looking over the garden as the rain tumbled and the thunder rolled in the distance.
Mark waited until Marnie had stopped speaking and then cracked open another can of cider in the kitchen and thought for a few moments before speaking.
"I told you, he's away. I don't know where. I'm not as nosy as you. It's not my fault he didn't mention all of this to you. Perhaps you ain't as pally as you thought, what with him asking me to house it and blanking you."
"He hasn't blanked me. We talk a couple of times a week and he's been really excited about the reunion. He's also been chatting to Billie Jean Barnes and they're planning to go on a date and sort it out tonight at the reunion. But I haven't heard from him all week. I was a bit worried, but thought he was just working late and we'd catch up tonight. Until you walked in and started your little stunt."
"Little Mark Tanner," Marnie said, her eyes still fixed on the garden.
"Billie Jean Barnes? He's having a laugh. She was all over me tonight. I'm the one taking her out. You've done this to yourself, you know, Marnie Bucks. Why couldn't you just grow up and out of being such a nosy Parker? Yeah, all right, gold star and A+ for you. Yep, I bumped into this totally amazing, gorgeous George Meadows. He was still talking down to me like I was just a skinny kid from a year below him. Total failure, still skivvying as an hospital porter. Oh, and he was still being a diamond geezer, inviting me back for a couple of cans. And he talked on and on about how he was sorting out the transfer of this house into his name, because his parents are staying in Portugal, and giving him this gaff totally free, and piles of money, just in case any old injuries flare up in years to come, so he'd be comfortable. Can you believe that? Comfortable. Yeah, all right, he banged his noggin in a bike crash donkeys years ago, but one thing that guy has never been is uncomfortable. Not like me. Yeah, I'm a hospital porter. What of it? Comes in handy. Once people know you're in an hospital, they're all over you to nick 'em a few drugs here and there. That explains the mush, as Stella would say. One of the consultants did me a nose job, Botox, and a bit of filler around me jaw. Bunged me a couple of quid to get me teeth done and all. All to nick some gear he wanted from the drugs cupboard that, yeah, I've strangely found a key for. And it was then, after seeing George in that bed, growing my hair out a bit. We look a bit like brothers. Perhaps I'm gorgeous after all.
Mark paused, and Marnie folded her arms. Suddenly chilly in the stormy June night.
So yeah, you've only got yourself to blame, just like him. He wouldn't stop showing off about all what he inherited, even though his parents are alive and kicking, and you wouldn't stop showing off doing the little Miss Marple act. So you'll be pleased to know you'll be joining him.
Mark paused again. Marnie spoke, her voice small and low. Joining him? Where is he? Is he in Portugal? What's happening, Mark? Does he even know you're here? She was cut off as Mark started shouting.
I told you, I'm house-sitting. Just long enough to sign all the documents George so kindly left me. Send off all the relevant ID, forge his signature to sell this gaff and be off somewhere sunny myself. I might even take a little road trip to New Zealand. And while I'm doing that and a bit of gardening, I thought I'd have a practice. practice as George, and that's what tonight was all about. Sadly, I've been a total failure because you wouldn't stop stalking me, and now I've got no choice. Sorry, Marnes.
Mark stopped. No choice about what? Oh, where is he, Mark?
Molly replied. How come everyone thought you were so brainy? You're as thick as two short planks, aren't you? As well as being one frumpy, ugly, nosy cow. Why are you here? Complicating things, ruining things. I've just told you. I've been doing a bit of gardening, and now you'll be joining George, who may not be so gorgeous, what with him pushing up daisies in the rose bed since last Friday.
Mark stopped talking and started running. As it dawned on Marnie that Mark had killed and buried George in the rose bed and planned to do the same to her, a bolt of lightning momentarily lit up the garden, and her darkest fear was confirmed as she saw the fresh mound of earth under a rose bush next to the patio. It only too took that moment to see Mark, reflected in the room behind her, charging towards her with a rolling pin, his face a contorted scream. Up on her toes she sprang, as though ready to run to the vaulting horse. She backflipped over an armchair, up against a wall as the patio doors slithering into a trillion pieces, as Mark sped through them, still clutching the rolling pin. Marnie sat down on the wet grass and placed one hand on the cool wet earth under the rose bush, and with the other she opened a can of cider and raised it in salute to the memory of gorgeous George Meadows, her wonderful school friend, as she waited for the police. From time to time she glanced at Mark Tanner, now less weasel-like and more porcupine-like, as a thousand shards of patio glass hovered him to his terrible ending. If there was one thing that Mark wasn't at this moment, Marnie thought, it was gorgeous. Total failure. Gorgeous George was written and narrated by Emma Sheehan. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll join me again on the first Monday of each month or at Ordinary People's Theatre. Brussprout.com. Thanks for listening.